Blog Talk Radio.
No, you call the wrong number you're calling. Call your regular number. I'm on. You call your regular number. Yeah. Not gonna happen here. Yeah, not what we need this bullshit is, right? Yeah.
Hang all the mistletoe. Yeah. I'm gonna get to know you better.
Seems like it's come over here. You're right. That's right, sir.
This Christmas. And as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Pleasant Guard Radio Network, and we welcome you to another edition of Sports in Depth, and all shows are open with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, and more importantly, have your will and your way. Dear Lord, we thank you for those things we so largely take for granted. We thank you for all blessings forthcoming, unseen, unknown, and unquestionably unmerited. We thank you for all that, Jesus. Thank you for Thanksgiving. But every day is Thanksgiving when you woke up live and well, something to eat, clothes on your back, clothes in your right mind, as the mother says. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless our family here in the panel, my family and friends in Brazil, my family and friends here. And we just want to thank you, Lord. Happy birthday to my niece, and let your way be our way. We ask you to bless all the blessings. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Dr. Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Trust in God Radio Network, it has been another of the rough, tough, sad Sundays for the Jets. Sunday night, Thanksgiving, 2 years ago, Cincinnati Sea Wings joined us, became part of our posse as Lady D tabbed us, and this is an anniversary of that. And tonight, the New England Patriots, 49-19, ran roughside over the Jets. This game was over in the first quarter. In a 52-second period, the Patriots scored 21 points. A touchdown pass led to 7 points. A fumble recovery led to another 7 points, and another fumble recovery all ran back for touchdowns. And that quick, the New England Patriots were up as the smoke had cleared. They were up 35 to zip at one time before halftime. The Jets came back at a field goal to go into the locker room at halftime, trailing the New England Patriots by a score of 35-3. New England scored another 14 points, and the Jets scored another 16 points, and was all done. The Jets, oddly enough, they still have a shot at the playoffs. This was just a huge game for them, Big C. You know, they win this game, they're 4-5. New England would have been right there in their sights this game. And didn't get into the locker room, getting a chance to talk to, Coach Bill Belichick. I just like this whole approach. You know, he said as far as that period where he got 21 points in 52 seconds, he says, you know, nothing surprises me in NFL. What he was really high about was the preparation, the zeal, and the dedication his players had in such a short week. He said he even talked about how good the walkthrough was this morning. And you know, it seemed like they were really focused and prepared to play the Jets.
What a
the Jets really needed this win, a division rival. They're down, but they're not out technically, as in the 2009 season when they went to the postseason and ultimately the AFC Championship game at 9-7. But the Jets, this was one of the worst losses in Jet history. Tom Brady, New England Patriots scored 3 touchdowns in 58 seconds. It hasn't happened since the merger of the two NFL, you know, the leagues.
But
the Jets, everything that could go wrong went wrong today with the Jets. And it goes into ball retention, not making these silly mistakes when Sanchez ran into his own guy. I think it was a mental error on his part. But the Jets need to turn it around like yesterday. They have to win. They have to win these next 5 games. And they can still ultimately make it when you look at the AFC East with the New England Patriots at the top of the division at 8-3 and everyone else virtually, you know, tied. You have the Miami Dolphins, 4-6. You have the Buffalo Bills, 4-6. So basically the Jets need to win their next 5 games. They're not playing superstar teams. They're playing the Arizona Cardinals, who are not they're struggling. They're not the best team around.
You know, looking at it real quickly, you know, we're going to look at it. Brady throws an 88-yard touchdown, and down the sidelines goes penalty for 34 yards, number 34. That's the 7 quick points there. And then the Jets get the ensuing ball. Sanchez runs into his own man. That ball pops up. That's picked up. Well, if he goes to the races, that's 37 yards. That's another 14 points. And then the Jets get the ball again. And what happens, Tom Brady was 16 for 28 today, 323 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then on the next play, bingo, another turnaround. And like you said, they got themselves 21 points, 52 seconds, and they took a halftime lead of 35-3. Wes Welker, they 7 receptions, 71 yards, touchdown, and 49-19 win. So for all intents and purposes, Cincinnati, see, this game was over at halftime, 35-3, no way in the world the Jets were going to catch the win. And then when they came out, they started making mistakes again. I mean, all game long with 5 turnovers. I think Kansas only had 1 interception, but man, there was, you know, the thing. And then you talk about, too, Dr. Stanley Sports definitely trusting the guard. We talked about the big thing, too, is that he had the most INTs, in the red zone. That's a horrible stat. That's his stat. We said, you know, continually that there are some things around he doesn't have the plays he used to have, but that stat is his.
I mean, that definitely hurts a team. That hurts a drive. It can really turn the game around. It doesn't matter whether it's in the first quarter or the fourth quarter. You throw those interceptions and you turn that ball over, and your team does not score in the red zone. And I'm not talking about field goals. You need to get into that end zone. You need to score the 6 points. Go for that extra point. If you don't do that, your team is dead, especially when you go up against a juggernaut team like the New England Patriots, the division-leading New England Patriots. This is with Gronkowski being out, one of probably their most premier weapon. You know, you always have to double-team that guy, but Patriots always find a way to win. The Jets need to cut down on turning the ball over, these stupid mental errors, the fumbles. They need to retain the ball. Retain the ball, keep the drive going, and, you know, stay on the field. The offense needs to stay on the field on third down, because if you keep your defense on the field a majority of the first half or the first quarter and a half, they're dead tired.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead tired. And when you're a team like the Jets that's having a hard time in the red zone and staying on the field at third down, you're in trouble.
Let's move real quickly away from the Jets. The Redskins won a big one today in Dallas, 38-31, RG3 with 4 touchdowns. They threw an INT, 307 yards. We saw him for replay. He was awesome. It's the first rookie
to do that.
First rookie to go 4 touchdowns in a game?
4 touchdowns in back-to-back games.
Wow, that's amazing. And the thing about it, too, is that this is the first time that the Redskins have beat the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. They came into this game 0-6, and now 1-6, but more importantly, they're 4-5 back in the division. And we've got to talk about the importance of this forthcoming game here Sunday night, as MetLife Stadium will again host a big primetime game. This was the primetime game. This was the last of the triple-headers today. First game was the Detroit Lions losing in overtime, 34-31, to the number one team now in football. They're 10-1 now. That's the Texans. And they came back. They were behind, but they came back to win that game 34-31 in overtime. And the second game was the thriller. That was the Cowboys, who were behind big, 38-3 at one time. They came back to lose that game 38-31. RG3 with 4 touchdowns, back-to-back games, first time ever done by a rookie, 323 yards. Today he passed for as well as throwing the INT in a huge, huge win. And in the last game here, after two delightful games, well, this one turned into a one-sided route. The New England Patriots, Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns, over 300 yards for himself, 49-19. You know, one of the things here, too, C-Wings, yeah, that we were, I was questioning, you know, why were we seeing Mark Sanchez late in the game, in a game that was just really, for all intents and purposes, over in the first half, actually the first quarter, but same question comes to point. Why was Tom Brady in a football game that was over and deep into the last quarter of his game against the Jets?
I mean, when you look at the Jets, Tim Tebow, he was hurt. He couldn't play today anyway. He had rib injuries. Why they didn't activate McElroy if Tim Tebow was injured. As far as the New England Patriots go, they play to the end. That's just the way Belichick is. They'll run the score up. They play until it's all zeros. That's why they lead the league in so many different offensive categories. Belichick took a lot of heat for keeping his starters in. Gronkowski got hurt in the last
You know, the thing, too, here is I'm thinking, as you, with Dr. Danny Sports Network on the Festival and Guard Network, it is a Thanksgiving Day special. Me and Cincinnati Sea Wings here live from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, where we caught the last of the triple header of the day. First game was Detroit Lions, who now are 0-9 here. They haven't won a Thanksgiving Day game in a while, but they took the lead.
They're done.
They're winning.
They're done. They're 4-7. Detroit Lions.
I just saying that they hadn't won a Thanksgiving Day game, and they are the team that started this whole tradition of Thanksgiving Day games on Thanksgiving. So they used to be the only game. You knew Detroit was going to play Thanksgiving. You didn't know who they were going to play, but somebody was going to play Detroit. Then Dallas came in as the afternoon game, so you got a morning game against the Detroit Lions, and then your afternoon game against the Cowboys. Those are two exciting games, 34-31. The Texans, 10-1, number one team in the league win-wise. And we got a great game by RG3. As you said, the first rookie quarterback ever to have back-to-back 4-touchdown games, through another 4 today. Redskins held on 38-31 to beat the Cowboys. And then we're thinking, hey, we got a game coming here. The Jets have just come off a big win. 55 points scored last week by the New England Patriots. But a lot of that was, as Coach Belichick said today, is happening today. Everybody scored today for them. The special team scored, the defense scored, the offense scored. So we were thinking, well, you know, maybe the Jets can come in, who had lost a close overtime game, to the middle game, and now they got them home. They just come off a win. That was not the situation for Cincinnati State.
Well, and I talked to you about this today with the Jets. This game kind of mirrored the Seattle Seahawks game. The Jets were in; they were in it. They were dead even for the first quarter, and they let the Patriots 35 points. That's unheard of. I mean, you can't win a game giving up that many points in one quarter. It's not over four quarters. That's just one quarter.
Well, you know, and the thing too is that to cut you off tonight. See, the thing too is what you said, and you talked about that. And I thought it, and then bingo. What happens is, again, is this ability of Mark Sanchez to throw INTs, and there's no opportune time to do that. But as Mel Cosell Smith Jr. says, he does that the most unopportune times. And today, again, and the stat that you brought out, which is, again, validates your genius and intellect, you know, he is last year the Jets were the number one team to score in the red zone. And that was amazing for a team that was 8-8. You said, dang, how do you be the number one team to score in the red zone and you're only 8-8? But we can kind of understand why they're having some of the problems they do when their quarterback is the man with the most INTs in the red zone. I mean, that's a psychological lift for the defense and a psychological downer for the offense of Cincinnati, see?
I mean, I still believe that Mark Sanchez is the better option to lead the team, but in order to lead the team, you have to have the weapons. You compare the Jets and the Patriots. They have so many different weapons that they can go to. Even if one, two, or even three of their good offensive players go down, they still have enough weapons on there, including the man at the center, Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, I want to cut you real quick because I see we got the Mel Cosell with us.
I've been
Rodgers
trying to
this.
Get a hold of you guys for a while now. I've had some difficulties.
We were here. Yeah, okay. Well, I want you to introduce us to the Sports in Depth Nation. We're talking about the Project for Raw. Box County Sports in Depth on the Trust and Card Radio Network. It is a Thanksgiving Day special, and it's been a special whipping here administered to the Jets by the New England Patriots, but it was a special day. But Mel Cosell Smith, introduce Eric Rice to Sports in Depth Nation, and Patrick for Raw will talk to us about the JTS Jets, who got crashed again here in MetLife Stadium. Looney, introduce us.
The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We are here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is here. And that indeed is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Please take it away, good doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. And with that, we're going to just...
And you've got to let me get in on the Jets, too, Doc. You've got to let me get in on that.
Oh, come on. Patrick Garrard is with us now. Patrick, what can you say in a game like today, Patrick?
You know, Doc, you know, we come from the same kind of neighborhoods, you know what I mean? We come from the same kind of neighborhoods. And we call something like this game a raw butt-kicking, but we say something else. That's what it was.
Yeah.
A raw butt-kicking. And,
Good.
And the elements of it, you know, people were saying all last week when the Jets beat the Rams that this is going to light the fire for them to ignite this season and make it happen. I never thought that. They played a team that's struggling, a team that has its own problems, a team that they were supposed to beat in the way that they beat them. But I never thought that momentum was going to be able to come back against what the New England Patriots was going to lay on this evening. And I was right. Because of the fact that, you know, there's so many things that are wrong with this team, and it's so fragile for them to stay in games based upon what they can do and what they can't do. I'm not surprised that, you know, it's the kind of game that they had to make. I'm not surprised at all.
But the big thing that the Jets, they have a pretty good chance of still making the wild card. I mean, you look at the remaining five games that they're playing. They're playing a 4-6 Arizona, 1-9 Jaguars, 4-6 Titans, 4-6 Chargers. And mind you, the Chargers are the total opposite of the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots find a way to win games. The Chargers find a way to lose games. So you have the 4-6 Bills as well. So, I mean, if the Jets run the course here and win against each of these teams, which I think they can, as long as they play like they played against Indianapolis, St. Louis, you look at the games where they did win, they executed, they didn't turn over the ball.
But, you know, Big C, that's the problem. That's the problem with the team. You know, what team is going to show up? I mean, you know, what happened to that team that played last week, even though, okay, they played a team that's not as good as New England, but what happened to that team last week? Rooney, I'm pretty sure you're jumping in here, too.
I told you last week, Doc. I told you last week when you were asking me after that win last week, what did I think of those chances this week And I said, Doc, I am totally dismissing the Jets of first and foremost, okay? I mean, come on, Doc. I mean, after that embarrassment, are you still, I mean, are we still have the nerve to mention the word playoffs in regard to this team?
Let me
say this, okay? I mean, they get destroyed on both sides of the football. Offense, defense, special teams, they get destroyed at home. I mean, why are we even discussing this part?
Thank you.
Why?
Because, guys, right now, you're talking wishing, hoping, and pleading if they do come in. Look, if you think they're going to have to beat Buffalo, I'd grow my hair back. Because you think Buffalo forgot that 48-0 butt-kicking they put on down here? You can forget that game.
The Jets play like that.
But let me tell you, just forget the playoffs. Because that ain't going to happen. Let's see if that's pie in the sky. Let's see what they can do. And the last five guys are playing for their jobs, and Rex Ryan and Tannenbaum are playing to keep it, they can keep theirs intact. That's what they're playing for.
Well, I think you're going to see a totally different Jets team next year. You have about between 9 and 11 players that are up.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Contract.
I believe that.
So you're going to you're going to see Santonio Holmes. He's on guaranteed money. You're going to see Bart Scott. He's still going to be here.
I think Bart Scott is gone.
Well, you have to look at the contract situation. Who's going to pick it up? Are they going to buy him out?
I think Bart does
more talking than playing. That's Bart's problem yapping at the media than playing football.
Yeah,
that's his problem.
Yeah. I think Bart's on his way out the door.
It's funny you talk about Bart because – And downstairs, listening to the post game show, and there was some things said by the former Jet quarterback, his name is Casey, and he said, you got to be consistently good. You can't be consistently bad. You got to be consistently good, and you got to do it as a team. He said, but the thing, and I thought about you right away when everybody talks about the line, but he said, okay, so the guy that everybody was complaining last year about, old Turnstile, he said, he's not here, okay, so Hunter's not here. So, where is the problem? He's supposed to have been the problem. Getting rid of him was fixing the problem.
Good point.
You still got a problem.
Look at other teams, they talk about the Chicago Bears, too. I mean, they lost two back-to-back games. Lovie Smith, he may be on a chopping block. I mean, the ownership loves him, but I'm telling you, you may see some changes in the Chicago.
If Doc Stanley's Sports Network on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, if the ownership likes him, what problem does he have? I mean, if the ownership likes him, if they own the team, he's not going to go anyplace. I mean, he's lost two big back-to-back games, but he hasn't had his quarterback there, and you got to take some. Look at that. Okay, he didn't have
the
quarterback.
But you also have to look at the business aspect of the national football.
The Bears are closer to the playoffs than the Jets are, so he ain't going nowhere.
I mean, he's got a tremendous. He's still got a good record. I mean, he's lost.
Yeah.
Like I said last week, it was a big game against Cutler. And last week's game proved to me that the Central 49ers. They need a quarterback. I mean, they seem to have a team that anybody really can quarterback, but they need a quarterback that can stand up and do the job. Like I said,
you can look at quarterbacks.
What's that?
Alex Smith, I'm not sold on him.
Kaepernick can play. That's no fluke.
But it seems like he doesn't get the time, and I guess not playing often. Inconsistent. I like him better than the guy that's supposed to be ahead of him, but I looked at the game against the Giants that they played. I mean, they got 3 points. They had 14 first downs. How do you get 14 first downs only 3 points? 14 first downs, only 3 points, and then last year in the championship game for a team that was sort of picked to go to the Super Bowl, they didn't get one third down the whole game. I think they need a better quarterback or somebody that the coach is going to say, it's your job. This back and forth stuff. It's not going to get them to the next level. I believe, Patrick.
Well, these guys, I tell you, Kaepernick and Smith is going to be there for a while, and Harbaugh is going to work it to where he can control the quarterback for them to do what they have to do. I don't think that's their big issue. I think the 49ers will be okay. Believe me, they'll be okay.
Well, I mean, they're going to be okay because of that the division they're in, and I think that something that we have to look at. You know, we're talking about, you know, New England, and they're scoring a lot of points, but they're scoring a lot of points against some very inferior teams. The Jets today, and Indianapolis last week. You know, they are still a good football team, but they're nowhere near the super team they used to be. And I think, you know, when they play the good teams, I don't think they're going to fare as well as they have been. The Giants have their number. I don't think they can beat, you know, the Ravens gave the game away. I think the Ravens, if they play them again now, I think the Ravens
the Seahawks,
got better.
They lost even again.
Yeah, so I mean, I just think that the New England, this division has a lot to do with their so-called superior look. They're still a very good football team, but they're no longer that dominant.
Well, they're a very good offensive football team, Doc. Their problem is that anybody who has any talent can pass the ball and go over the top all day long.
The point you make, their best defense is their offense, but the division they're in, you're playing the Jets twice, you're playing Buffalo twice, you're playing Miami twice, so that's six wins right there. You know what I mean? But then, I mean, you got your opinions and shots. Doc Sammy Sports Network on the Trust in God Radio Network. It has happened once again. The New York Jets have gotten rough shots, stepped on, beat on, but they're still talking about there's hope for the playoffs. But Patrick Kerr and Mel.
Don't stop that.
I still think that there's a chance that they can make it. I mean, you look, obviously the Giants are much better.
See.
They're going against a team. You look at the Jets are kind of like the Knicks. They lose against teams they should beat, but yes, I'm talking about the older Knicks, not the Knicks now. The Knicks prior to this year.
Let's pull away from this talking about, you know, we got a big football game coming here Sunday. The Green Bay Packers are coming in here, and Rodgers and company against the New York Giants. Giants haven't seemed like the old team. They're into their. I remember the old San Francisco Giants used to have their June swoon every year, and the Jets, Giants are seeing having theirs. Now the question here, Patrick and C Wings as well as Mel. I mean. Phil Simms, I want you to start off, Patrick. Phil Simms said 2 weeks ago that Eli Manning is not an elite quarterback. Patrick, talk to me. Yes or no? Is he?
Yes, no. It depends on how you define an elite quarterback. If an elite quarterback is defined in conjunction with somebody like Aaron Rodgers or somebody like RG3 or Luck, who has mobility, who has a lot of flexibility and athleticism, no, Manning is not in that group. However, what Manny can do relative to his ability is make a team better. And he has made it. Manny needs parts around him to be good. Manny can make things happen. That was quite evident 2 years ago before he threw 25 interceptions when he tried to make things happen himself. If you put the right people around Manny, he can make it happen in that matter. What Phil was talking about, an elite relative to somebody like Aaron Rodgers. No, he's not like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback in terms of playing position and has excellent athletic ability playing that position, like RG3, like John McNabb. That's what he's talking about, you know. And to me, don't worry about being elite. You don't want two Super Bowls. That's elite enough to me.
Real quickly, RG3, only rookie quarterback to throw four touchdowns in back-to-back games. You said something to me a couple weeks about him. You know, he's not a thrower; he's a passer. And I think right now he's shown also leadership abilities. You're very high on him, aren't you, Patrick?
Oh, I saw him play as a freshman. I saw him play one time. I'm going, this boy is the truth. He's the truth. They were trying to put him in a category of a runner, and not appreciate his. Exemplary skills as a quarterback, but obviously they found that out. This kid is the truth. I tell you, here's what's worse. A couple of weeks ago, when Washington played the Giants, and I've been covering football for a long time, professional football for a long time, I've heard when Michael Vick first got in the league, guys were awed by his ability. But I've never heard guys in a locker room, professional teams, actually say, we're worried about this guy. And Stephen Tuck says, why the football gods put him in our division? They were truly in awe of what this guy do. Here's what's worse. You're just seeing the beginning of it. Wait till he gets some more weapons around him and really see what he can do. That's the scary part. The scary part is yet to come. So I'm very high. I've always been high on him.
He's quite a special human being too. You know, a superstar on the gridiron and off the gridiron. Is that his name?
No, are you saying he may be the second Doug Williams? He may be on the road to win a Super Bowl.
Doug Williams wasn't definitely had a great arm, but doesn't have the athletic ability.
No, I mean in terms of winning a Super Bowl, because definitely RG3 is not an athlete playing a quarterback. I say this all the time. He's a quarterback who's athletic. This guy
Tell you what I told Doc the first time I saw this guy play, okay? And Doc will verify this. First time I saw RG3 play a whole complete game, I said, you know something, Doc? I may be jumping the gun, but barring serious injury, in his career, you know, broken arm, broken legs, whatever. But barring, you know, serious career-ending type of injuries, I think he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, man. He's the good. He's the real McCoy. He's legit.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
And when he gets more, when he gets to know the game even better and gets even more weapons around him, that kid's going to be virtually unstoppable, man. He has world-class speed. He can throw the ball 50 yards on the fly. He's smart. He has leadership ability.
70 yards on the fly.
He's the bionic quarterback. He's the bionic quarterback. He has the arm of Randall Cunningham, because when you see him, this guy is launching 60, 70-yard passes. He has the speed of Deion Sanders. This guy is extremely fast. And he has the know-how of the game like Peyton Manning. And he's only a rookie.
Let me ask something. You know, I was one of the people that wanted to harp on Shanahan for what he did to Donovan McNabb. But what I have to give Shanahan credit. Shanahan got an offense that complements his skills. You and all of us know, you bring a quarterback to the league and put him into a system where he doesn't flourish. But they built a system around him and it's flourishing. They run some of the same kind of schemes that he ran in college that they said they couldn't run in the pros. But because this guy's ability and leadership, they can run it. And also, having that young running back to help him out also. Yes,
mm-hmm.
He can take it. I give Shanahan a lot of credit for having a system that can really make this young man successful. Because a lot of coaches would put him in a system that where he would be getting killed and you couldn't really dictate or see what this young man could do. I give him a lot of credit.
Had your hats up to him. We got a Doc Sunday Sports Network, Justin Garvin Network. It is the live show from MetLife Stadium where the Jets are barely alive. Another 49-19. Gentlemen, we got to look at the Giants now. How big is this game on Sunday? If they win this game on Sunday, does that push them back? I mean, two weeks ago, they were the best team in football. 2-3 weeks ago, they were on the way back to the Super Bowl. Now they've lost some games that they shouldn't have lost. What happens here if they beat Green Bay Sunday? Does this put them back at the top of the fold? Will this re-energize them? And is any truth to the fact, we'll start it with you, Rooney, is Eli Manning's arm tired?
Well, Doc, I think that this bye week couldn't have came at a better time for them. You know, they can kind of rest, a couple of injuries, get some treatment, refocus. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think they've played a complete game, as far as I'm concerned, the Giants. I don't think they've played a complete game since San Francisco. I think they've been kind of resting on their morals since the San Francisco game. I think they went down there and then started and played a complete game, started reading their press clippings, and kind of had the attitude that all we have to do is throw the football out on the field, and everybody's going to say, well, my goodness, the Giants are here. This game is over.
I think they started being a little, a little bit too in love with their own press. But in answer to your question, yeah, I think it's about time that they kind of, you know, come back into the... Because the Giants traditionally play lousy in November anyway, okay? And you have to remember, last year's Super Bowl year, there was a time when they were, what, 8-8? Something like that, or somewhere around there. I mean, they played mediocre until the playoffs, when they made that incredible run again, as they are known to do on the road. They seem to be a better road team anyway. They seem to be more focused on the road. And just quickly, in regard to Eli Manning, I think he, I'll put it this way, I think he can be an elite quarterback. He has won 2 Super Bowls. The thing with Eli is like you said, which Eli is going to show up? Is it the Eli that's going to be missing guys and looking like, you know, walking around like Obi with his shoulders hunched over and like, oh my? Or is it going to be the Eli that we've gotten used to bringing us back in the last 2 minutes? You know, he has a reputation in this league that if, you know, if we get the ball last and he's doing a 2-minute drill, you expect this guy to pull it off. I mean, he's earned that. You know, he's earned that kind of respect.
Patrick, you know, we talked to JT as Jets, and when the Jets lose, it's the defense didn't do it, the offense didn't function. It's Mark Sanchez. They didn't play Tim Tebow. It's Rex Ryan. The name we never hear about that gets any sort of fault or guilt is Tannehill. But with the Giants, let's go the other way. You know, nobody talks about what a great job Jerry Reese has done as GM of the Giants, Patrick. I mean, he's just one of the best there is.
Let the church say amen. Jerry Reese is an executive that really doesn't. I don't think he really cares about what people think about him. His record speaks for himself. That's one thing I like about him. He's not promoting who he is. He puts the team together. The team wins. I do believe that he ought to get more recognition, but talking to Jerry Reese and looking at his dominion, I don't think he really cares. Because you know what he said? Look at my 2 Super Bowls. Where y'all at? You know? And that's all I really think he worries about. But and to talk about the Giants, I will say this. You know, a lot of people say there every week there's a big game. You know, sometimes I get to my nerves. It's a big game. But, fellas, they ain't like this week. It's a big game for the Giants. Because the Giants can put a nail in the coffin for Cowboys and anybody else winning this division if they win Sunday. Because the Cowboys, I think, have at least one more or two more losses coming.
And looking at the fact that today, 4-5 now are the Redskins. And amazingly, historically, you know, the Washington Redskins were the last team to get an African-American. Bobby Mitchell was the first African-American player to play for the Washington Redskins. Came from the Cleveland Browns, where he's playing with the legendary Jim Brown. Okay, if the Giants go in and the Redskins have won, there's no question that a loss by the Giants goes the other way. They win, they're nailed in the coffin, the Eagles are definitely dead, the Cowboys are dying. But if they don't win, then the Cowboys and the Redskins, especially RG3, who seem to be getting better every week, they're back in the picture, Patrick.
I tell you what, I'm thinking about it. I haven't made a decision yet. I'm thinking about going down to D.C. during the Giants play, because that's going to be a game. With what RG3 is doing and what he can do and how much concern he made the Giants defensive players. Like I said, I've never heard Giants defensive players talk about that, about any player that I've been around coming to like 15 years, how much they were in awe of this guy, what he could do. Yes, the Giants should win tomorrow, win this game Sunday, so they can be at least 2 games up on Washington when they play. Because if it's even, I don't know what's going to happen.
And, Doc, we need the return of the vaulted Giant pass rush to return this week, too. You know, I haven't heard the names nearly as much, Kia, Paul, Tuck, and others. We need the return of the vaulted Giant pass rush
if they're going to do anything. You know, it's been very quiet the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Real quickly here, before we move back into football, let's talk about Hector Camacho. He got shot the other day.
Yeah.
The talk is that he's brain dead now. There's some other talk about in the shooting was that there was some drugs on the seat of the car. The driver was killed. But and look at Hector Camacho. This guy was one of the most talented fighters. I mean, in wake of all the things that supposedly happened to him, he's still a Hall of Fame fighter. He's the only guy in history of boxing to beat both the legendary Roberto Duran and also the same iconic Sugar Ray Leonard. And here's a guy, we understood that he beat them way past their prime.
But we understand
that the fact, though, in their prime, this is a guy who had a shot at beating them. At his best, at their best, it was one heck of a fight. 79 fights he won, three-time world champion. All you need to know is that he's the guy that Don King brought a Maserati for twice in the same day. But we are here keeping him in our prayers and praying for his family and remembering a guy for what he was in that ring. Hector Macho Man Camacho was at one time the number one fighter in all of boxing. He was carrying the mantle, and we are saddened to hear about the situation that he's in, but we want to recognize him for being a guy. And the Cisco Kid, who will join us during the week, had a tremendous point. You take him and Wilfredo Benitez, and you're talking about the two greatest Latin fighters ever in the history from the island of Puerto Rico. Yes, you had Carlos Ortiz, and yes, you had Tito Trinidad, and yes, you had Jose Torres. But you cannot touch the skills and ability of Hector Camacho. And we ask you all out there as we celebrate Thanksgiving, and every day is Thanksgiving when the good Lord can bless you and you'll be healthy and alive. We ask you that you continue to pray for Hector Macho Man Camacho, who I probably said is a friend, and also his family. And remember a guy who was a great fighter, and at a time where fighters were outstanding, he was the most outstanding. You need to know this about Hector Camacho. At no time in his era did Chavez or Colonel Whitaker call for Hector Camacho. It wasn't Hector Camacho on a downhill slide that he fought Chavez, Trinidad, and Oscar De La Hoya, and being a shadow of himself, he still went the distance. Hector, the Macho Man Camacho, one of the great fighters of all time, and one of the greatest fighters ever come out of Puerto Rico, out of New York City. So we're looking at a big situation here, too. R.A. Dickey, there's talk that maybe the Mets should trade him. Jose Reyes, first Mets player ever to win the batting title, and this quick, he's gone. Went to the Marlins, and now he's in Toronto. That has been a quick turnaround. RG3, enough said. Four touchdowns last week, four touchdowns this week. Tom Brady, he gets better with age. One of the great quarterbacks of our time. Take a hat off to him. And you said something here, Sue Wings. A question asked at the press conference by Rex Ryan. Does he think he'll be here next year? What was that reaction?
He seemed to take it to heart. He looked like he was almost in tears from what I see. Very emotional. So, I mean, he's definitely under the gun. We know that they went to the AFC Championships 2 years in a row. But as each year and as each season passes, that gets further and further away.
Seems like a long time ago, C-Wayne. Seems like a long time ago.
Absolutely. That's like turning around and saying, you know, the Jets did win the Super Bowl, but that was back in 1969. So, I mean, what have you done for me lately? This industry, this business is a results-oriented business, and it's... Yes, the ownership has to like you, but they don't have to keep you.
Here's some quick stats on the Jets. In their four wins, they've averaged 33 points. In their seven losses, they've averaged 12.6 points. And today they lost for the fifth straight time to the New England Patriots, 49-19, live from MetLife Stadium. Doc Stanley and Cincinnati Seawings here on Sports Network on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We got Patrick Garrard, baseball, football guru, genius, and Ohio State legend player, and also the one and only Mel Cosell Smith, a.k.a. Lou Coco. We're talking football.
Hey, let me say this, Doc. Sorry to interrupt, but let me just say this quickly, okay? When it comes to the Jets, the stats don't matter. Throw the stats out the window. It's not so much that they're losing or even getting outclassed. It's the way that they're losing, okay? I mean, just total destructions on both sides of the ball. They've been bad on offense, defense, special teams.
I mean, I can't really think of a place where you can give the Jets a plus check at. You know, so it's not the stats go out the window when it comes to them, Doc, because they look so horribly bad that the stats really don't matter in this particular instance.
You know, Patrick, how much worse do they look to be in the same ballpark with the Super Bowl champions and a team that always seems to play, you know, more fundamentally sound football? How much of this is Rex Ryan, does Patrick?
I'll tell you this and I gotta sign off. There's one thing that is the difference between Rex Ryan and Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin demands and gets consistency. Rex Ryan doesn't. Not to say that they're not quality coaches, but Tom Coughlin has the model down now on what it takes to win. Rex is still working on it. There are things in terms of, and also one thing you have to consider, and when we talk about the Giants and what they've done, and even Eli Manning, keep this in mind. They've had the same system for the last 8 or 9 years. Big difference between the Jets and the Giants. The Jets are now on a ground in town, which I said was never going to work from the very day that they signed Tony Sperano, and it hasn't, and it won't work. They talked about Schottenheimer and his problems with the offensive approach, but Coughlin and that group has been consistent with the same kind of offensive schemes and playing through over the last 3-4 years. It makes a difference by being consistent and to win games in the NFL. So, Doc, I got to sign off, but I'll get back with you, fella. Good talking to you.
Thanks a lot for being with us, and join us next week. Patrick Farrar, Ohio State alumni, and also football guru and a gentleman that has been a big part of the football fraternity and world here in New York City. And, he said something. I mean, I guess that's the difference, too. We look at it. When Coughlin got to the championship game, he got his team into the Super Bowl. Rooney.
Let me say this about, you know, it's funny, Doc, when I called you guys during the course of the game, when I called you and did my Three Stooges impression to say, because that's what they reminded me of, was mistake after mistake. You know, Doc, it's ironic, Doc, in C-Wings. It's ironic that they have a Curly on the team, I believe it's Jeremy Curly, because the rest of the squad is playing the parts of Mo and Larry.
You're right, Rooney.
They scored 21 points in a minute, see?
52 seconds. Doesn't
that sound like when Reggie Miller scored, what was that, 8 points?
The thing about it. They won that playoff game, which was a crucial playoff game at that time.
The thing about this, too, was they scored those 21 points for maybe conceivable way. Offense, defense, and special teams. You know, I'm going to see if I can get Ron Borges here real quick to give me
a breakdown on both sides of the ball and special teams. You can't work. First of all, Doc, you're not going to beat an NFL team turning the ball over 5 times to begin with.
I know. I'm going to see how much if I can get Ron Borges here real quick to give us a quote or two and some thoughts about Hector, the Macho Man Camacho.
Let me say something about Hector, Doc.
Please do.
You know, I knew you guys had held him in high self-esteem, and I always knew that he was, really a darn good fighter. But I didn't know how good, again, until Harold had said that, you know, in dealings with Hector, when, you know, the networks would call and say, hey, we have an opponent for Hector, and Harold would say, okay, when, why? And they say, well, don't you want to know who? And Hector and Harold said, I'd say, it doesn't really matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. That's how confident he is.
Tell us what the fight. Make sure the money's right, and we'll be there. And that, you know, that was in a nutshell. You know, just tell us when you want the fight. I remember Howard West. Howard West's credo was a very simple thing about guys that fought for him. I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? Which is the credo of Howard West and the credo of the guys that era. I mean, you know. You look back, as Harold said, there were certain guys who would fight anybody. Camacho was that kind of guy. Harold was that kind of guy. Duran was that kind of guy. Ali was that kind of guy. You know, we don't tell this. There's some great fighters in this business who have handpicked their guys and certain guys who wouldn't fight. But Hector Camacho, I mean, the great story to talk about Louis Loy, which we had Skeeter with us on the show, and he said he was there at the weigh-in, and Lloyd was 3 or 4 pounds over. Hector said, Ron, he said, I don't care you're 2 or 3 pounds over. He said, because I'm going to knock out anyway. I'm going to try to get Ron's voices here real quick as we continue to talk about Hector Camacho, because he said some things that were pretty profound. So one of the top writers, boxing writers. So real quickly, Ron, you know, we talked about Hector Camacho, and you said some things, the whole thing, you know, what he could do in spite of kind of lifestyle that he lived.
Oh, I think that the thing about Camacho is the way he lived his life and ran so hard just shows you how much talent he really was blessed with, because 99.9% of the people in the world, had they lived that way, wouldn't have survived, let alone won world championships and defeated a lot of great fighters. I mean, he was a vastly talented guy, and it's a tragedy in a lot of ways, the way his career went and certainly the way his life's gone.
Who we got here? Hello? Okay. Ron, last question. You saddened to see that sort of thing happen to a guy who was he seemed to be he was a throwback from it, but the last era of guys who could go 15 rounds. Last year, the guys who knew the sport.
No, it's true. I mean, he was a guy who, look, when he was fighting, he was given everything that he had. Now, when he wasn't fighting, not necessarily so much, but his ability to move, to do, to make adjustments, to do whatever you need to do in a fight to win. I remember the night he fought Julio Cesar Chavez, where he knew he wasn't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody knew he wasn't going to win, but he went in there to try to win. And a lot of times you don't see that, you know, with a lot of guys, especially today. So I think it's, it's a sad end to a guy who probably had definitely had a better career that he's going to get credit for.
Last question, Ron. You know, think about it too. He was a special, and he was a southpaw. He was just an outstanding southpaw.
Right. Well, that's right. I mean, most southpaws, Marvin Hagler being a rare exception, most of them aren't that pleasant to watch. Their styles doesn't mesh that well with the conventional fighters and so forth. But Camacho was a guy that was so talented at what he did that after a while you forgot he was a southpaw. I mean, he was enjoyable to watch. And he brought a lot to boxing, a lot to the sport, both in his boxing style and in the whole way he carried himself. He was a showman. He understood it was a show.
He was a showman. He really was a showman. I mean, the ring attire, that's what the thing about Hector. He wasn't just a very, very good fighter. He really considered himself to be a showman type of an athlete. You know, like I said, the thing that he'd wear into the ring is his verbal skills. The guy, he was a showman indeed.
No, that's right. I mean, he understood he was an entertainer as well as a fighter. And I think that's part of the reason he was as popular as he was. And I think that, as time passes, people will look back on his career, I think, and look at him more favorably maybe than they do right now.
Thanks, Ron. Well, one of the great boxing writers. No, yeah, Ron's a guy who knows the sport, who saw him. And he said something that about Hector that was, I know, I looked at it now and it kind of hit me, you know, that the guy was a southpaw that you like to see fight, and you didn't realize it was a southpaw. You know, you look back at southpaws, they're dull, they're boring. You talk all you want about Pernell Whitaker. Pernell Whitaker was bald, dull, and boring. You know, as good as he was, as the other side of the ledger, he was also dull. Black County Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We're talking about Hector Camacho, who it seems is brain dead, who's paralyzed, and who very surely may no longer be with us. The Jets seem like they're no longer with us. And the Giants have a big football game this Sunday that can either put them in a position that they'll be leading the pack or they'll no longer be among the pack. We're live.
Like I said, everybody's talking about Eli Manning and the offense, but it's about time again, Doctor, that defense reemerges again. You know, the so-called wanted pass rush has been there for the past month. It's about time that they reemerge. You know, hearing the name Pierre Paul and Tuck and Umanora and the like.
Well, I mean, the thing here too is the pass rush is not there because the opposition is kind of doing their job too. So it's a two way street. You know, it's not like they don't want to get the pass rush there. And there's some cases they can't get it there. So you got to take your hats off to the opposition.
That's true, Doc. But in the Giants' case, that pass rush is central to their defense because it takes a lot of the pressure off of their corners and safeties. You know, when you can, you know, obviously when you can get to the quarterback.
Yeah,
because the quarterback
about,
is going to have time to pick them apart. And,
like
you know,
it's not there. Not because they don't want it to be there. It's not there because see, when you still have the belief and the hope that the Jets are going to, they can still make the play. But what we want to do here, we want to take a quick look, wrap it up real quickly, do my Marvin Gaye closing, get a little quick mic on, lights off, as we always try not to, but we wind up doing it real quickly. We want to tell everybody good night.
Well, Doc, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network, and the Straw That Stirs the Drink has been here. And that indeed has been Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Okay, Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Trust in God Radio Network. And we want to thank Ron Borges for joining us, Jackson Ferrar, always Cincinnati C-Wing, the legend that lives, and the rest of the crew here. Marvin Gaye will close out. Three thoughts. Live your life today after stand before God. More life, most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for the service to others? Is rent you pay for your space here on Earth? That's Ali. And I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Marvin Gaye closes out with us. With that.
I just want to ask a question.
Native children.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
Save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Life. But
thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports In Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.